Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Pamu Pamu Revolution on Warner Music Japan, catalog number WPJL10021/2, and this is a release from 2011.
So this album was given to me by my uncle as a, you know, a possibility for something we could feature on the show. And I definitely appreciate it because I didn't even realize that he was a listener. And we were always happy to get listener suggestions. And so thank you for the album. So Felicity, do you want to tell us what this album looks like?
Yeah. So on the cover, there is this lady sitting at a table, maybe at a restaurant. She's got a cloth napkin at the table. She's holding a glass of wine. There's another glass in front of her. And she's wearing this outrageous outfit, just like this red velvet shirt with some like streamers hanging off of it, and one of those sort of Elizabethan collar sort of situation, but it's made out of what looks like to be foam, and it's yellow and blue, and she's got this bobbed haircut that's very like mod, and it's kind of got these little ringlets curled under her eyes. So when I saw this album, I thought maybe it was from the 60s because it's got like this, she's got this super mod sort of look going on. And the color palette is like this red and orange and white that is sort of like 60s-esque. And all the script on it is in Japanese on both the front and the back. Although it does say in English, all songs written, played, arranged, and produced by Yasutaka Nakata from Capsule. And then on the back, Carrie Pamu Pamu is standing in her red velvet dress. She's got green leggings and like green ballet flats, and she's holding this colorful streamer thing, which looks like it might actually be part of her dress. It's pretty wild. She's standing in front of like a theater, like curtain drapes. And then this is a gatefold album, and so when you open up the gatefold on the inside, she's standing in this kind of tropical forest, and she looks like Violet Beauregard from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Like, she's inflated like a little blueberry in this sort of harlequin print with little stubby pink gloved hands sticking out. It's pretty wild.
All right, well, let's get to our first clip. This is my pick, and it is track 3 on side A, and it is the song Pon Pon Pon. So I guess this is the song, I guess, that originally was her first hit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, being out of the loop on everything. Hadn't heard of this song until my uncle gave me this album. But it's definitely catchy and fun, and I can see why it, you know, became a hit. It has sort of this bouncy feel to it. And it definitely has sort of that feeling of a song that was constructed specifically to be a hit. And I think of in American pop music, sort of it being the equivalent to something like Britney Spears or Katy Perry.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
Agreed. And, you know, I think it's interesting that you make this comparison between Katy Perry, because I can totally see, like, in Katy Perry that some heavy influence from J-pop. I think of that California Girls video where she's, I think she's got that like cupcake bra situation, and like there's all these like popsicles and things in that song. I don't know. So it makes sense that you would also see Katy Perry in this production. I like it too. It's like, it's definitely, like you said, it's catchy and bouncy, and it's, she's got this like really girly, high-pitched voice. And there is heavily featured hand clapping in this song towards the end, especially. And I'm a big fan of hand claps in songs.
All right, let's see. Well, what can you tell us about Carrie Pommy Pommy?
So she was born January 29th, 1993, which makes me feel really old. I don't know if that makes you feel old.
Yeah, I don't know when it happened. It seemed like we were always younger than everyone. Until sometime when it changed, and like now it seems like everyone is younger. It's like there wasn't a period where it's like, oh, well, some people are older and some people are younger. It just went from everyone being older to everyone being younger.
Yeah. Yeah. So she would have been like 19 or something when this album was recorded, because this came out in 2011. In her teenage years, she was kind of known as being a rebel. She went to a school where, she had to wear a uniform to school, and she was one of those girls that would, like, bring in her backpack something different to wear and, like, change and, like, put on all kinds of crazy things in addition to her uniform. And so as a teenager, she got to be known as a fashion blogger and also as a model for Harajuku fashion magazine. So Harajuku is like a neighborhood in Tokyo. It's got a whole bunch of shopping, and the people that are on the streets out there are known for their like really outrageous and flamboyant outfits. And you can see that if you look at her videos. She's wearing these like really like candy colored things and pastels, and she's got all these different kinds of wigs like you see on the cover. So this is part of the Harajuku thing, is having all these really outrageous clothes. And one of the things that she's known for is this kind of kawaii is basically just cute things. But it's like kawaii gone like slightly grotesque. And so it's not just straight up cute like Hello Kitty or Sanrio and like all pink and cutesy. It's that and also like something kind of gone wrong and kind of creepy and scary about it. So in this Pon 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 song that we just heard, if you look up the video to it, there's like eyeballs and like brains and those like, there's like so much going on in that video. It's a little weird.
Yeah, I would say that this is still on the cutesy side, though. It looks like some of her later albums get into that more, with the album covers sort of having like, I don't know, like weird teeth or something.
Yeah. You
know? But yeah, I would say this album is still sort of in the realm of just kind of, you know, candy-like and
yeah, pretty. Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know a ton about J-pop. But I think like it feels to me like kind of straight up Japanese pop music. It doesn't seem like overly creepy or, you know, totally outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, while she was involved in fashion blogging and modeling, she met Yasutaka Nakata, and he is one half of the Electronic Music Capsule. And he encouraged her to make music and is now her producer, and so he produced this album. And the Pon 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 video came out in 2011 and went viral. Maybe y'all knew that, but we didn't know that. And Carrie Pamu Pamu references Gwen Stefani, Christina Aguilera, and Katy Perry as influences. And I think that's pretty interesting because, like I mentioned, like I can see Harajuku influence in Katy Perry's videos, and Gwen Stefani had a song about Harajuku girls. And so it's interesting that there's like a little bit of crossover between American pop and Japanese pop stuff. And the Pon 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 song was also featured on an episode of The Simpsons. So if you've been watching The Simpsons, maybe you caught this one somewhere along the way. And so because she's so very young and this isn't a very old album, there's not much else to report musical-wise. She has released some other singles and stuff, and the most recent release that she has out right now is a compilation of hits from the last 5 years, which includes a DVD and Blu-ray of videos. And the videos are pretty over the top, so I think it would probably be pretty cool to see the Blu-ray of the videos.
All right, Felicity, do we want to listen to your clip?
Sure, I picked Candy Candy.
And this is the third track on Side B. All right, let's take a listen. So what'd you think?
So I definitely went with the cute pick on this one. I like just the lyrics are really simple about candy and chewing and gummy, and it's definitely like super saccharine and bouncy and cutesy, and it even has like this synthesizer that sounds like a kid's glockenspiel in there. It's really like over the top with the cutesiness.
Yeah, I think that this might be the best song on this album. It's, I think, sort of slightly less frenetic than the Pon 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 song, which I would say is sort of like the theme of the album overall. And I think that this song is interesting because, well, I guess as it turns out, it's almost all English, though I didn't really catch that entirely until I watched the video for it. But one of the things I think is interesting is it's sort of just like a mix of English and Japanese lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I think that that's kind of interesting. I think the first place that I really encountered, you know, foreign language and English language stuff being sort of intermixed just, you know, seamlessly was when I started watching Bollywood movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that too, that they just kind of intersperse English language words in with, I guess, you know, Hindi speech. And no, I mean, I just thought that was kind of interesting, and I guess something that you don't really see in American culture because we're very monolingual.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this album, as I mentioned, it was given to us by my uncle, and as it was a new release, it is in mint condition. But I would say it goes beyond that, that our copy seems to be, like, immaculate. This is probably the least amount of surface noise I've ever heard on any LP, and you know, we buy a fair number of new releases. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I guess in record collecting people talk about is the idea of a hot stamper, that, you know, the way that they manufacture records is you create this sort of metal mother, and then you you know, produce like a stamper from that. And, you know, sort of stampers wear out over time. And so, you know, people always want to get like the, you know, like the first edition of things, because that was like, you know, when things were, you know, like the mother was like, you know, the newest. And you want to get the stamper like, you know, not too late, because it might be worn down. But anyway, this record, I would, you know, say is like a hot stamper. It is like definitely fantastic quality and probably the best pressed album that we have in our collection.
Yeah, it's really, it's actually really remarkable how very good this album sounds.
So let's talk a little bit about what we liked and what we didn't like. So the things that I liked is that this album was very catchy and, you know, very poppy. And I don't know, I don't really have a problem with music that is manufactured to be pop music. You know, a lot of people like criticized Milli Vanilli or, you know, in the same vein, Boney M, for, you know, the people who are being featured as the band members not actually performing, I guess, in the 60s, maybe more, you know, of the era of this podcast would be like the Monkees being criticized for not playing their out their, mm-hmm. you know, their instruments. And, you know, more contemporarily, you know, people like Britney Spears, who, you know, sort of have like a team behind her writing the songs and, you know, making, you know, them as pop music. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have any criticism of that. I mean, there's still talented people who are behind these things, you know, and whether it's the people who are featured on it or not, I don't really think that's the important part. And so I think that it's really, yeah, it's really a well done example of something that's designed to be, I think, you know, catchy and poppy. The things that I don't like about this album are that, you know, it really has no dynamic range. It's like a casualty of the so-called loudness wars, where it's basically been compressed and normalized to be as loud as possible. And I think that that can be a little bit fatiguing. And, you know, this being J-pop, it's sort of every song is really like in your face, and it's all kind of very upbeat. And so it's not a lot of tempo variation either, although things do sort of calm down slightly on the second LP, which is good, because after the first LP, you feel a little bit like you've been binge eating on candy. And so I think that the way that I would prefer to listen to this is, you know, in sort of like a Pandora style shuffle along with other music. So I don't know, Felicity, what do you think? What do you like and what did you dislike?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I totally agree with you with this sort of pop production of things. I find it really interesting how pop stars are not just the person being presented, but it's likely, I mean, especially she's got these videos, there's going to be, she's got this electronic musician who's her producer, she's got these animators working on her videos, she certainly must have some help with her styling to get these really outrageous costumes. So it's really like, I think that's so interesting, and I think it's you know, the final product is so cool that she has like this whole look, and she's got like this sort of twisted cute thing going on. Like I'm into that. And but I also agree with you, like the album is a little bit fatiguing, and the fact that, you know, she really is not a musician, she's more of a personality. Like her singing is sometimes off key, and it's just not musically super interesting necessarily, or complicated, or to my taste. So, you know, it is kind of just hard to listen to for the whole deal. But on the whole, it's, yeah, I think it's really interesting and cool. And I'd be interested to see the collection of all the videos together, because the production on this album is so very good, and like the pressing of it is so very good. Like, I can imagine like watching the videos on Blu-ray and high definition, like they're probably pretty awesome.
Yeah, overall, I'm glad that this, you know, we have this in our collection. I think it's a good addition to our collection. It's something that I'd probably recommend, again, buying digitally so that you could, you know, put it on shuffle. It is available on Tidal, so you could listen to it there. Unfortunately, not available on Apple Music, but they do have, you know, several singles of her songs, and they do have her recent Best Of compilation. So that's a place where you could check it out. So for more information, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/31. As always, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Living in Hi-Fi. For longer correspondence, you can email us at feedback@livinginhifi.com. And next week, we have something that's a little bit more of the Living in Hi-Fi feel. So stay tuned for that. So thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.